really thought through it, prayed through it, started doing some podcast interviews. And I look up 10 years later, you know, we've got just under 150 guys in 15 groups. We're in 4 different countries around the world, and God just continues to bless us. The truth is, Jim, we could go for hours talking about some of these things, but I almost lost my family in my late 30s, early 40s, because I was so focused on making more money, and the bar kept moving, that I came home with a pocket full of money to a house full of strangers.
One of the most important things I've learned in my life is that a person can achieve all their goals, they can be wealthy, and still not be fully free. As I climbed the wealth ladder and grew a company that was one of the most successful real estate investment companies of its kind here in St. Louis, Missouri, on the outside, I had everything I had dreamed of. The beautiful wife, nicer car than I thought I'd drive, nicer home, beautiful kids. And yet, on the inside, I didn't really feel any different. I still felt, quite frankly, like a slave. I was chasing money. I was chasing my next goal. And when I hit the goal, I wouldn't take the time to celebrate it. And I didn't know how to fully enjoy the journey along the way. So as I've aged, I've gotten curious, you know, how do we make our entire lives wealthy and not just one component of it? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to interview the guests on this show. And yeah, we're going to talk about what they've done and what their stories are and how they've become financially wealthy. But also, I want to dig into their relationship with money and their relationships with other, and if they have more joy and fulfillment than when they started out, or if they don't, and why or why not. So thanks for tuning in. We got a great guest coming for you. Let's get started. Hey guys, Jim Anning here with another episode of the Passive Wealth Show. I am beyond excited to have an individual by the name of Aaron Walker on the line here with us. He runs a mastermind group called Iron Sharpens Iron. And also, his start with mastermind groups he was in one with a guy that you maybe have heard of, Dave Ramsey, Dan Miller, Ken Abrams, and others. Just a wealth of knowledge. He's exited over 10 companies, and we are really excited to have you, Aaron. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, man. Good to see you today. Hope things are going well there in St. Louis.
Absolutely. So, goodness. I mean, we have 12 companies that you've bought and sold to talk about. We have this mastermind thing, Iron Sharpens Iron. And really just so the audience knows why we got connected was we have a mutual friend named Dan Luigs. And I asked him, hey, who do you know that's exited a company that's in that next chapter of his life and has kind of quote unquote gotten there has in that next chapter, and you were the first name that came up. You said, oh yeah, you got to talk to Aaron. So,
oh man, he's too nice. I need to send him $20 for giving me that referral. So
that's right. Good. So, why don't we do just kind of like very brief on like, kind of like the exit of some of these companies and kind of what you've learned, and in your case, you decided to open up this mastermind, right? And so, so in your case, you decided not to go to the beach and just kind of hang out.
Well, I wanted to, but that's part of my story. I'll get into it here just in a second. So I'll give you a little 30,000 foot overview. I don't want to talk too much about myself. I want to be able to add some value to your listeners, and hopefully I can help. But I'm a native Nashvillean. We don't need to hear anything about the Southern slang. I know it's pretty Southern. Everybody asks me, they say, man, where are you from? Like, you're from Texas somewhere. I'm like, no, I live in Nashville. 63 years. It's been a fabulous city to raise my kids. Robin and I celebrate next week, 44 years of marriage. So we're excited about that. 2 adult daughters, 5 grandchildren. Robin said that I've retired more than the law allows. Like I did. I started the first company at 19. We sold to a Fortune 500 when I was 27, and God really blessed that effort. And it created a platform that allowed me to do a few things that probably Jim wouldn't have otherwise taken place, and came from a very poor family. My family was great, but they just, you know, didn't have any money. And I wanted a little bit better for myself and my family. So I really put some concerted effort behind doing some businesses, and then went on to buy and sell other companies. And I'll fast forward you through a couple of them. I won't bore you with the details, but in 2001, this was a real pivotal time in my life. I was 40 years old and I was on my way to the office. And unfortunately, I ran over and killed a pedestrian on my way to the office. And it really set me back on my heels. I'd had a measure of success and we had all the toys and the vacation home and the stuff. But what I realized going through that process, which was very unfortunate, the guy was 77 years old. He was trying to catch a bus and ran across the street in front of me. He just didn't see me, ran right out in front of me. What I discovered through that process of a five-year sabbatical, I sold my company. It really, really rocked me to my core. I realized that I'd had a measure of success, but no significance. Bob Buford wrote a book years ago, and I read that book about this time and realized that the only people that would have cared about the measure of success that I had was my family. And I felt really, really bad because I'd spent so much time, you know, decades of my career working to obtain more, but I hadn't really made an impact in the lives of other people. And so God's providence about that time, Dave Ramsey reached out to me and he said, "Hey, I'm starting a mastermind group and I'd love for you to join." And I said, "Well, Dave, I don't even know what a mastermind group is." And he laughed and he said, "Hey, just come to my office. I'll introduce you to the 10 guys that's going to be participating. I think you'll enjoy it." And so I did. I went reluctantly. I didn't really want to do that. And the reason I didn't is because you know how Dave is. He gets all up in your stuff. You know, he's going to find out about you. And I'm like, "Hey, Robin, he's going to find out we got real estate debt and maybe I haven't saved as much as I should." And she goes, "Why don't you just go and see?" Robin knew Dave as well. We had started as one of his original sponsors when he started the radio show here in Nashville. So I sponsored his show for 21 years. Wow. Well, as a result of that, we built quite a friendship, obviously, and went to the group and absolutely, Jim, fell in love with the process. It radically changed my life. And so we spent 10 or 12 years every Wednesday in his office for a couple hours, you know, really doing life. So fast forward, you know, 10 or 12 years, I'm now 50 at that time. And I went to the group and I decided to retire for the final time. And I went in and I said, "Hey, I'm done." We owned a construction company. I said, I'm getting out of that and I'm going to retire. And Dan Miller was one of the guys in the group and he owned a company called 48 Days to the Work You Love. And he looked at me and he goes, "What are you going to do now?" And I said, "I'm going to go down to St. Martin and I'm going to buy one of those little tiki huts on the beach and I'm going to rock myself into an oblivion." And I laughed out loud, kind of like you're laughing now. And he pointed that little short stubby finger and he goes, "That's the most selfish thing I've ever heard you say." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I've been working since I was 13. Like, I'm ready for a break." He said, "Aaron, you and Robin have had a very successful marriage. You've owned a number of companies. You've got the abilities to encourage and challenge. And why don't you start coaching a few guys?" And I went, "I don't want to do that. Like, I'm tired. I need a rest." He said, "Well, rest a little while." Dave Ramsey said, "Well, while you're resting, come and do Entree Leadership Mastery, and it'll be my gift to you." And I was like, "Well, that's a $10,000 gift, Dave." He goes, "Yeah, come and do it." And Jim, I want to tell you, man, it rocked my world. I loved it. Fell in love with the process. A couple of guys hired me to be their coach. Really thought through it, prayed through it, started doing some podcast interviews. And I look up 10 years later. You know, we've got just under 150 guys in 15 groups. We're in 4 different countries around the world, and God just continues to bless us, helping ordinary men become extraordinary in every area of their life. And so that's what I get to pour my life into now every single day.
So let's dig a little deeper on that. So your friend, so I think Dan Miller is what, if I'm following your story correctly, like kind of challenged you, like, "Hey, don't be selfish." Did you go on that? Like, did you go to the beach for a couple months? Like what?
Yeah, I took some time off. Yeah. After I retired, I took some time off, not just a few months. I mean, it wasn't long, you know, I'm pretty energetic and obviously I've owned a number of companies. And so I don't like to sit on the couch and watch Andy Griffith reruns every day. And so I'm like, I got to have something to do. I like productivity and I like to accomplish things. I'm a creator developer. Once it's maintaining and managing, I kind of lose interest. And so that's one of the reasons I've owned a number of companies, because I like to create something. And so I did take a break, but when I went to the Entree Leadership, there was a guy there named Brett Barnhart, lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a guy named Matt Miller lives in Stephenville, Texas. And they came up to me during one of the breaks and they said, we want to hire you as our coach. And I started laughing. I said, this is Dave's event. This is not my event. And they said, no, we want to hire you as our coach. And I went to Dave's office during the break. And I said, Dave, a couple of guys out here want to hire me as their coach. He said, well, go coach them. You know, what's funny is that both of those guys are still in our organization 11 years later. And one of them I've coached every Tuesday morning for 11 years.
Wow.
And radically changed the trajectory of his life. He's 41 years old now. And he's getting kind of bored because he's built a company that doesn't require his management and over skills every day. And he gets to do other fun things and invest in other people and buy other property and have passive income. So it's been fun to kind of walk that journey. But it wasn't my sole intention originally. And I really didn't even want to do it. And I certainly didn't want to start a mastermind. I was like, I'm retiring. And my wife said, you're working harder now than you've ever worked in our marriage. And I said, well, I think the difference is now that there's massive transformation in hundreds of people's lives. And now guys are better husbands, they're better dads, they're better business people. They've got a sense of balance in their life. They're really focused on the five pillars of their life, the personal, professional, relational, spiritual, financial, every dynamic they're really focused on now. And nothing's really out of balance because we hold them accountable. The truth is, Jim, we could go for hours talking about some of these things, but I almost lost my family in my late 30s, early 40s, because I was so focused on making more money and the bar kept moving that I came home with a pocket full of money to a house full of strangers. And my wife said, hey, this is not what I signed up for. Like, I appreciate the nice stuff, but I really want you to be here. We only get one go through with our kids and I don't want us to miss that opportunity. And thankfully, you know, she was stern enough and made me see the light. Simultaneously, I have this accident. I run over and kill this pedestrian. I think it was a wake up call for me. And so now I want to pass that on to other people so that they can kind of dodge the landmines that I kind of went through, because, you know, I could have easily lost my family if I'd kept on the trajectory that I was going. And so learning what I did, being in that mastermind, the Eagles, we were called, and then having coached hundreds of people, having hundreds in our mastermind, there's a constant theme that I see each and every day. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, it's just different people have different challenges at different times. But we've built a framework that encompasses every area of your life, and we can help you dodge those landmines.
What are some of the landmines that you see people going through?
I would say one of them, and people misuse this terminology. They say, I don't have work-life balance. The truth is we should be extraordinarily out of balance in all the right places. See, what we need to do is prioritize our priorities. We've got to really think through what it is that is important. And I had a misalignment when I was young because I didn't have any money when I was a kid and I wanted nicer things, which is admirable to a degree. But what became my God was the focus of, you know, obtaining more wealth, having more disposable income. And I didn't even know why I wanted it. I just didn't want to be broke. And so once you get on that treadmill, that bar is elusive. You keep moving the mark. You know, it's like, well, one more store, you know, $50,000 more, $100,000 more, then I'll be happy. And what I discovered through this process is that happiness is a choice. It's not a trait. And we think that having more money is going to fill that void. And I just want to tell your audience that money's nice and it gives you options. And I don't want to be broke. I have a nice home, a nice boat, truck. I've got the things. But what I realize is that I choose to be content and happy. Now, a lot of people just heard what I said and they confused it with complacency. I'm not complacent at all. I never want to be complacent. It's pedal down. Let's go. Let's make it rain. Like, we can make it happen. But I want to learn to be content at the present moment. And it even teaches us that in Scripture. I'm a Christ follower, and it teaches us in there to be content in all things. But it doesn't say to be complacent. Where we fail in the guardrails that I'm trying to build is for people to have some semblance of a mindset of an order of priority. So for me, God is first because I'm a Christ follower, then Robin, then my kids, then my grandkids, and then my business. And if we can keep things in that order, you've prioritized your priorities. Now, here's what I hear all the time, Jim. Well, when I make a little bit more money, then I'll spend more time with my family. Well, see, the real danger in that is the relationship capital that you're spending in order to obtain more. And you've got to get on the same page with your spouse. You've got to create a written vision. You've got to know exactly what it is that you're wanting so you're pulling in tandem and not in isolation. And once you establish what it is that you're wanting to accomplish, you put the boundaries around the time frame and say, I'm willing to invest this much time in order to accomplish my goals. And if it doesn't happen within that time frame, possibly it will later, but you haven't spent the relationship capital in order to accomplish it. And so this is where I see the misalignment regularly, is that we get so aspirational, financial, that we forget the relationship capital that we're spending to get there. And so we just help people identify what it is that's really important. I wrote a document years ago called What Do I Want? Most people don't know specifically what they want. They just want bigger, better, shinier, faster. Just give me more. Give me more safety. Give me more security. Give me more money, a bigger bank account. And it's kind of like the dog that caught the car. He doesn't know exactly what to do with it once he gets it. And that's where I see guys failing every single day. They get to a comfortable position and then they become bored. And then they're like in trouble because they get involved in things they maybe shouldn't. And they're not being productive in the right areas because they don't have accountability. They don't have the written vision. They don't have the guardrails. They don't have people walking in tandem with them. Isolation is the enemy of excellence. And if you really want to go further, you've got to go together. You can go faster alone, no question, but there's going to be crisis that happens in our families. It's just a matter of when. We were really knocked for a loop about a year and a half ago. My daughter was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, and they gave her just a few months to live. And it set us back. It's like, man, I never saw that coming. I mean, it was a left hook from you know where. It was like, what in the world are we dealing with? Well, fortunately, we had gotten ourselves into a position that we could take the time and deal with my daughter in the manner that we needed to help. Praise God. She got a liver and she's remarkably healed and she's doing amazing. They just released her recently and God's given her another opportunity in life to flourish. But if I hadn't have been in a position, what would I have done? Like, you know, I couldn't have helped. We couldn't have helped with her kids, couldn't have helped with the things that she needed. So my point is we all go through those trials, just like the automobile accident. My life changed in the blink of an eye. If I hadn't have built the people, the framework, the relationships to help me work through that, it would have been too late to enlist that level of help when I needed it. And that's where people really fall short. They think they know it. They've got a facade up. Their ego and their pride disallows them from getting in an organization or a community that can really take them much further once they realize their shortfalls. We all have blind spots. We all have kryptonite. We all have superpowers, and we need people around us to shore up those areas where we're weak and really call us out and call us up to maximize our abilities here. And so these are some of the things that we're doing very effectively in Iron Sharpens Iron.
So your passion is admirable on this. As I'm listening to you go through what you've been able to accomplish through the group, it's congratulations are in order. That's amazing. What's going on in my mind, I'm trying to think through this, is like on a personal level for Aaron Walker. I mean, you're 11 years into this new calling And 11 years ago, you said, well, hey, I'm ready for a rest. And now you're working harder than you ever have. Yeah. Not because you're Indiana Jones and like in the Temple of Doom and that ball is about to like squish you, right? And you're running away from it, which, you know, as an entrepreneur starting
out. It feels out, that way sometimes.
Yeah. Right, but you, if it's there, it's because it's in your head. It's not because you actually have it. Because like you could just close down the shop today and just say, hey guys, I'm going to the beach, see ya, you know, like like you have that ability from what you've been able to accomplish in your life.
Can I address that? Can we talk about that just for a second?
Go ahead.
When you say that, what comes up in my mind was the mindset I had prior to doing this. It's like, I can afford to just go to the beach. Doesn't that feel very selfish in nature with the resources, the qualities that God has bestowed upon me, a level of encouragement, insight, the ability to have a successful marriage, know how to build successful companies and keep that information, that wisdom, that knowledge to myself and like, good luck to the rest of you, go figure it out. That's the way it feels now when I look back. And what I've discovered is that the most gratification and satisfaction that I feel, the sense of accomplishment, is when you take a young businessman, 30, 35, 40 years old, and you go, hey, the trajectory that you're going on right now, wisdom tells me that this is what you've got coming. And if you don't make some modifications, you're going to be a rich old guy alone with no children, no wife, a successful company. And if that's what you want, then continue to do 12, 14 hours a day, never going to your little boy's baseball game, never going to your little girl's recital. Your wife is at home being a single mom. You're providing a nice home. You've over leveraged. You've mortgaged the house. You've mortgaged the cars. You got golden handcuffs now, you know, at the job that you're at. You can't leave. You don't have an option. If that's the life you want, that's what's coming. And they're like, they don't know what they don't know. And so for me, I feel a sense of calling. Now, honestly, I'm scaling back a little bit. I'm 63. I'll be 64 on my next birthday. And I've developed a team. We have a small team, about 10 folks that work full time doing what we do. And I'm doing less and I'm doing the things that only I can do. Nobody on our team can come today and do this interview, right? I'm the founder. I'm sharing with you the questions that you're asking. So these are the things that I do. As far as the administrative tasks and those things in the daily, I'm not. Mm-hmm. We have full-time administrative team that does those things. So what you then do is you realize your giftedness and you operate in your zone of genius, not in your zone of competence. I'm competent to do those things, but it's not my zone of genius. And so what it does is it just opens up the ability for you to go do things where you're most used and you're most gifted, and it gives the most transformation. And so that's the reason that I'm not just sitting on the front steps of a tiki hut on St. Martin today. I do those things, right? Yeah. I do take nice vacations. But my point is I think we always have to have a purpose. There always has to be a mission in front of us.
What do you think your level of happiness is now versus if you hadn't sold so many companies, this would be an easier question. I'm trying to think, wow, after which company did you sell? After maybe, let's say when you're halfway there or halfway to the 12 that you've exited, you know, when you're five or six companies in, what's like, are you happier now? Or are you the same? I'm so curious about that.
It depends on the day you ask me, you know, just like you, there's some days you're happier than others. Right. Yeah. And we have challenges and, hey, how happy do you think I was when I got that news? My daughter had cirrhosis of the liver.
Yeah.
I wasn't very happy. Right. It didn't take my joy. My joy is found in the Lord. It's not found in circumstances. Happiness is caused as a direct result of our circumstances. Mm-hmm. So there's days that I'm sad. There's days that we find out that other family members are sick or friends have lost their business. I'm unhappy at that point. So the basis by which my happiness is derived is not on the seven-figure exit of a business. As I said earlier in the interview, happiness is a choice. Like, I can choose to be happy in this thing. And the reason, and I don't want to teach a Sunday school lesson, but the truth is that my confidence and trust is in Christ. And so my joy is in the Lord. The happiness that I have is carnal in nature based on the circumstances that are happening today. So some days I'm very happy. Then there's other days I'm very sad. That's just the result of being a human being. But if it's predicated on you getting a seven-figure exit, I can promise you that is not going to make you happy. It's going to be fun for a minute, right? But the money does not scratch the itch like you think it's going to. A lot of people are listening to this interview right now, and they're saying, yeah, Big A. Everybody calls me Big A. I say, yeah, Big A, but you got money, and it's easy for you to say that. I don't want people to mishear me. I think money is amazing. It is a tool. It is used to live our life. It's not to be sought after for the accumulation of a false security. There is not safety in having more money. Just ask COVID. Look at right. what it did to millions of people. It broke them, and they never saw that coming. They couldn't have had enough money to protect themselves. And so we never know. Don't put your faith and confidence in something that moss can eat and rust destroys. Don't do that. It's your confidence and faith in Christ. That's what I've done for me. And everybody listening to this, I'm sure, is not a believer. But that's what I've done, and that gives me great joy. Then happiness comes as a result of my circumstances.
So I feel like I need to call you Big A now.
Call me Big A. Everybody calls me Big A.
Can I call you that? Oh, okay. So Big A. So what you said there is really profound. And on my personal journey, I have learned to try and focus more on the process than the result. And I can't echo that more, in that the happiness is kind of the result of what's going on, which how much can we really control during the day, right? So like, so having a more of a joy focused on it, you said something that if you're not comfortable sharing, just say it, but can we dig a little bit more into that? Your joy was still intact when your daughter was a year and a half ago, when your daughter was going through what she was, because how, I mean, it's the human nature, like, hey, why God? Oh my gosh. Like, my daughter, are you kidding me? Like, the anger sure. that could have happened there.
Sure.
And you still had a joy while going through one of the most difficult things any parent can go through in their life. Yeah. Yeah. Having a kid as sick as your daughter was. Yeah. Let's dig on that a little bit. Walk me through that a little bit more.
Let me walk you through a story, and it will summarize the reason I feel that way. I have a favorite story in the Bible, okay. and it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I know those are very uncommon names for people listening that are not Christ followers. The king came and said, hey, you guys bow down to me and Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, we're not going to do it. And he said, listen, if you don't, I'm going to put you in the fire and I'm going to burn you up. And they said, go ahead, put me in there, because my God will save me. And here's my favorite part of the story. But he said, even if he doesn't, blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm. And see, I want to live my life that way, and I'm not perfect at it. And I fail many times at it. But even with my daughter, right, he loves her more than I do. God loves her more than I do. He's given me her to steward over her, to raise her, to raise her family. And if he took her, blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't. He spared her, thank God. And I'm very happy as a result of that. But it never diminished my joy and confidence and trust in the Lord, because he knows best. Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for the glory of those who love God and called according to his purpose. So God's either in charge and what he said is true, or he's a liar, one or the other. And I believe it's true. And that's where I put my joy. And nothing will shake my confidence and joy. Am I unhappy? 100%. I cried like a baby, but never diminished my joy.
I mean, this is powerful stuff. Thank you for being so open and honest with this. What it feels like you've evolved to, I think human nature is, you know, by nature, the marketing term is what's in it for me. Like, it's, you know, we are very selfish by nature. Mm. And what I hear about your journey is an evolution to where you've gone from, hey, Big A's this 18-year-old kid that sells to a Fortune 500 company by the time he's 27. Big A's building other businesses than his wife, to the point where it kind of became about Big A building these businesses and what can Big A do, to the point where your wife had to kind of have a talking with you to say, yeah, hey, come did. On. Yeah. And then you had to have a dramatic, the car accident you mentioned a couple of times. Where you've had to have dramatic life shifts to where now you're 11 years in after you saying that you needed to rust and hang them up, and you're still motivated and going strong, but you're not focused on Big A anymore, are you?
Well, I think as we all discover, the real value in life is the servant leadership mindset. And it's difficult because we're all selfish in nature, naturally. And I have to fight that all the time. I have to fight pride. I have to fight ego. I have to work really hard in conversations not to name drop, because I want you to know certain people. And every time I don't do that, it's a win for me personally. I do use names even on interviews to give context so that you understand the bigger picture. But everything in me wants people to know that I know some important people and have done some cool stuff. And that's called pride. And I fight pride a lot. And it's not something that I think will ever go away, but it's a constant surrender. It's daily. And I have accountability partners that I've been meeting with every week for 20 years. Every Monday morning we meet and we talk through these difficult things. They know everything about me. They ask me the hard questions. They ask me what it is that I'm drinking, what it is that I'm watching, who it is that I'm talking to, any inappropriate relationships that are going on. Are you struggling with lust of the eyes? Are you looking at pornography? Like these difficult questions. And I'm not going to go in there and lie. And as a result of having that level of accountability, it helps you stay more on the straight and narrow, which we want to do, to be faithful and men of character and men of integrity. I don't want to go out here and cheat and lie and look and do. And that's not being faithful to my wife and to myself. And it's not a good leader for my children. And I'm not perfect at all. I make huge mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life. But I think it's the perpetualness of trying to be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's like, I want to be a good guy and I want to be a servant leader to give back. Is there a payday in it for me? Well, yes, I have a family and I have expenses and I have payroll and we have a business that we have to run. And well, certainly we have to make a profit. Rabbi Daniel Lappin is a friend of mine. He wrote a book called Thou Shalt Prosper. And it's a must read. If you want a really good read, read that book. And it talks about the value of the exchange. Like, we owe people compensation for a job well done. It's what makes the free enterprise go around. Without it, we don't have a marketplace. But he quickly acknowledges the fact that it's not something to be worshiped and sought after for the accumulation of. It's like, what are we going to do with this tool? And how are we going to benefit our family and others? And so, yeah, Jim, it's just a daily pursuit of growing in knowledge and wisdom and striving to accomplish and do the right thing. And it takes a lot of work and we're not perfect. We fail and we get up and tomorrow we try to do the right thing again.
Yeah. It's part of being a human.
Being imperfect, it is. Right? I mean, right. We're human and we make errors. We make mistakes.
So I really just have one last question for you, Aaron. If you had to give that, I normally don't have to go this far back, be it 18-year-old self when you were starting out as an entrepreneur. If you had to tell that 18-year-old kid like one thing and you had the opportunity, like what would be the most important thing you could have told yourself as an 18-year-old?
I didn't realize when I was 18 years old, the value of relationships. And about 11 years ago, we created core values. We have 5 core values. And our number one core value is relationships matter most. So everything we do, we look at it through the lens of the relationship. I don't want to have any regrets. Am I serving this person well? Is that going to be mutually beneficial? It's like we've got to think about the person, regardless if we're selling a widget or we're providing a service, we're dealing with people. And that relationship has to matter most. And I spent the first 20 years of my career pretty much in isolation because I didn't want to be vulnerable. I didn't want to be transparent. And I can only imagine if I had built the community around me that I trusted, I had trusted advisors, that I could have subjected myself to their scrutiny and said, I want to live right. I want to do right. I want to, you know, be a good husband, a good dad. I want to be a good businessman. Where do you see my blind spots? What's the kryptonite? Like, how can I do better? Surround yourself and subject yourself to that level of scrutiny. I could have accomplished 100x, 1,000x more than I did, but I had too much ego, too much pride. I didn't want anybody to know the truth. I didn't want people to know I had debt. I didn't want people to know X, you fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. Because of that, it disallowed me from knowing the answers to those questions, and I had to find it out in a hard way. And so I would start over at that age, surrounding myself with a community of trusted advisors that I believe in, that I trust, that I could be totally vulnerable, totally open. And it would have created a lot better environment for my family. It would have given me exponential growth over and above anything I've accomplished because, as I said earlier, you can go much faster alone, but you can't go near as far. And so my 18-year-old self would have surrounded himself faster with trusted advisors.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, Big A, thanks for coming on. How can people get a hold of you and your team? Like,
what? Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's been an honor, first of all, for being here. Thank you for allowing me this time. The easiest way is to go to viewfromthetop.com, spelled with a V like Victor, viewfromthetop.com. We have two opportunities for people. They can be involved in the mastermind, and we also started a community where we have a lot of really cool businessmen that are in this community. It's a fraction of the cost of the mastermind, and you can still interact ongoing. There's a 90-minute call once a month. We have guest speakers. We have breakout sessions, accountability. So either one of those opportunities, depending on your need, I would love to talk to you. So go to viewfromthetop.com. I'd love to have a chat with you.
Well, that's fantastic. Viewfromthetop.com, guys. And that is a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a website, passivewealthshow.com, where you can get more great content and resources. We offer a passive profit strategy session, and you can find that on our website as well, where we'll basically ask you a bunch of discovery questions and help you figure out if investing passively is a good thing for you or not. So go to our website, passivewealthshow.com, and we'll go from there.